If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done amongst them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you must also testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you.
Let's pray. Lord, we need your help. And so we look to you to open our eyes to understand these words, to change our wills that we might live in the light of them. Please work amongst us by your Spirit for Jesus' sake. Amen. All of my friends were completely unanimous. They insisted that there was really nothing quite like it. They told me that the feeling of power and speed was exhilarating. It was a must, they said. I just had to do it. I really hadn't lived until I'd enjoyed the experience. And after a while, I actually began to believe them. I gave in to the pressure, and I went water skiing. The first disappointment was the water. No one had told me it would be that cold. Somehow, I'd always imagined water skiing on a blazing hot day in a tropical sea. But this was England, in a freezing cold lake under a miserable grey sky. The next problem was getting the skis on. It seemed to take an age before I was finally in position, waiting for the boat to pull me up and give me that exhilarating experience that I'd been promised. It didn't quite happen like that. As the boat roared away, my arms were pulled vigorously forward, my legs seemed to stay where they had been before, and my head was propelled into the water. My friends seemed to enjoy that. It wasn't quite the fun that I'd anticipated. Eventually, I did manage to get away. I stayed up for a good 20 yards or so, and a little ripple came along. It felt like a massive wave, and I was pushed off. I got up again, and then down, up, down, and then my time was up. And I waded to the shore, very wet, very cold, and very fed up. They offered me another go later in the afternoon, but I said, no, thank you very much. I'd had enough of water skiing, and I'd never been even vaguely tempted to go again. It could have been so different if my friends had given me more realistic expectations. If they'd actually warned me that the water would be cold, that would have helped. If they'd warned me that it might take a while to get the hang of it, that would have helped. But instead, they gave me the impression that from the very beginning, it would be just marvellous. And I was soon disillusioned. I didn't want to know. Right expectations are so important. We're continuing our series looking at these famous last words of the Lord Jesus in John 14-16, his final teaching and instructions to his disciples on the night before he was arrested. He knew that he was about to be crucified, and that then after his resurrection he'd ascend to heaven, and that there'd be a long delay before he returned again. And he's speaking into this in-between period, preparing the disciples, speaking right to us, telling us what it's going to be like, preparing us for living the Christian life while we wait for the return of Jesus. We looked last week at the beginning of chapter 15. Do you remember Jesus likens himself to a vine? And we Christian disciples are the branches. If we remain connected to him, he says, we'll bear much fruit. Fruitfulness is the mark of the Christian. And that's a very attractive picture. An abundant vine. And yes,